This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Germantown Parkway. It's not too late to give the gift of Massage Envy Spa.
National contest data message rates apply. Now it's Memphis Money Madness. Penny, hoops, and cash all month long. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Here's this hour's code word.
All right, you got a chance to win $1,000 right now. Text the word LOVE, L-O-V-E. Text LOVE to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Again, your 12 o'clock keyword is love. Text love, L-O-V-E, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right now. You're going to have another chance in the 1 o'clock hour, but right now you got about an hour, so take your time. Text the word love, L-O-V-E, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 with 92.9. Good luck.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Opposition, want them all dead. I don't like you, want your friend instead. Free the guys, all unfed. Plug talk, hello, free throw, two shots, bricks in. What's that, backboard? New wheel, two seats. On short notice, I just ran up 100 with not 197 exactly. Living cinematic, this a world premiere. I ain't acting, but I'm the address. 200s game bang, they stacking. 2-1 me, exactly. Ops on the other street, this action. Slide down 100 round, exactly. Exactly. Look at their reaction, let's see who the maddest. Speak man, smashing. What? Rory or Lamb, let's see what's the fastest. Exactly. Big drums, I'm best in the field.
The Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts, they're the official realtor of the Memphis Grizzlies. They're my official realtor. They should be your official realtor. Why? Basically because they managed to sell my house. They did it in 6 days. Got full asking. You guys know about my deal out in Raleigh? Didn't matter. Didn't matter how tough a job it was. They made it look easy. Jennifer Carstensen and her team over at the Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts. John, they're just simply the best.
They are the best. They're the best in Memphis, the best in the entire world. And the reason why is because they do things differently. They offer a ton of extras that they don't feel are extra at all, and they don't charge extra. If your home didn't sell the first time on the market, don't worry. A lot of times, it's not a price issue. It's a marketing issue. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. That's their job. That's their business. They market the house aggressively, not passively. That's why they've sold over 1,100 homes in 10 years, and they are just getting started. They sell a home every 2 days.
And it got me living my best life. We're moving tomorrow. My wife is excited. My 4-year-old is excited. We will be there. John, it'll actually be the last night out in Raleigh tonight. As a matter of fact, and it's all good, thanks to the good folks, the Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts. You should give them a try. Go visit them online at livelovememphis.com. The phone number is 901-685-6000. Again, 685-6000. The person to call is Jennifer Carstensen. She took care of me. She's going to take care of you as well.
All right, every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM, ESPN. First story.
All right, so some NBA news. We talked about it a little bit with Mark Spears. And this is from Woj, who, by the way, did you see his, he's got like a new commercial now. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that? Zero chance that dude has Metro.
Oh, too. We were talking about commercials. I think yesterday on the rec, we said that Peyton Manning was State Farm. He's nationwide.
I said Allstate.
Oh, wait, either one. State. Gotta get it right.
Allstate is that guy with
don't
the super deep voice.
Peyton. Yeah, but I've seen the Woj commercials, and yeah, they're cute. He's on there talking about how much speed he needs.
People were upset about it.
Why?
Because it posted on his Twitter account, and they said, I'm taking off my notification for you now. They felt like Woj sold out a little bit. It's a fair question. Did Woj sell out? I mean, this is a guy who You know, now he's doing, he used to be the, I mean, he still is.
There's no better man to have. He's always on his phone. He has to be. Who is there better to have? How's he sold out? He doesn't cover the company that takes care of his phone. You know what I'm saying? His speed.
He doesn't have Metro PCS by T-Mobile. That's the problem. It's like Shaq. It's like Shaq, you know, or it's like Blake Griffin.
Whoa, wearing Reeboks? And, I mean, pushing Reebok, you don't wear?
It's like Blake Griffin, you know, endorsing Kia. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You don't drive Kia.
He got one in the garage, though.
He don't drive it.
That's okay.
It's
saving it for the kids.
The kids ain't going to get the Kia.
They're going to get in that thing as soon as they turn the... That'll be their first car.
He's going to give...
And it'll be the top-of-the-line Kia.
He's going to give the Kia to the nanny. That's what he's going to do. Or the maid. Like, that's what he's going to... He's like, oh, hey, I got a car for you. It's a Kia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And which is great.
He'll give this to some family member.
The average human would love a Kia. You know, it's just... I just struggle a little bit with... You know, you don't have Metro by T-Mobile. You just don't. You don't. It's okay.
How do you know? I mean, you don't.
You think he has Metro by T-Mobile? You think he does?
It's a good chance.
Okay.
All right. Broadcasting out to the world, it's a good chance he got it. Maybe that's the fastest for him.
Hey, maybe he does.
I don't rock with them, and that's okay. I'm not going to judge him for that.
What are you, AT&T man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been a long time.
You pride that service.
Yep.
Okay. You're not getting paid for this.
Nope.
Anyway, Woj, he of Metro and T-Mobile.
Allegedly, according to you.
Yeah, I don't know if he is. He reported today on ESPN.com. Over the weekend, there was a proposed deal between the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves for Jimmy Butler. They shared medical information, which suggested it. I mean, it got pretty far down the line before Minnesota balked at it. Miami wants to. They want to reopen talks. They want to get this thing done. They want to reunite D Wade and Jimmy Butler there in Miami. And this is what Adrian Wojnarowski reports. Butler hasn't yet practiced with the Timberwolves this year, but he was with his teammates in the locker room at the team's facility this morning. There's been hope around the Minnesota front office, staff, and teammates that Butler would rejoin the team. But it remained to be seen what, if anything, Butler would do on the court with the Wolves on Wednesday. At times, Butler has been working out away from the team at the facility since his trade request 3 weeks ago. They were close. They were on the brink of a blockbuster deal for Jimmy over the weekend, only for the deal to fracture before completion. Miami had softened on including guard Josh Richardson and versions of a possible deal for Butler, only to recoil once Minnesota pushed late for a sweeter return on the four-time All-Star League sources said. Listen, I mean, if Miami wants Jimmy Butler, they're going to have to give something up. I mean,
yes, everyone is.
You know, that's just the way it's going to go. Otherwise, you'll have to wait. You know? I mean, he's under contract with the Timberwolves. That's it.
Wouldn't you make him wait? Because you know that situation's untenable. In terms of, we just talked about with Mark, how weird that's going to be, right, going back. Because there's no trust. How can there be between those teammates there? So don't you force their hand by just... You know, waiting, playing the blinking, playing the stare down game.
I mean, do you?
The longer they wait, the value goes lower.
For
Minnesota,
right? That's what I'm saying. Like that only work that works if Jimmy doesn't, you know, report to the team. You know, if he plays and things,
It is gonna go that if make him play. If you're Miami, right? Let's see how it works out. Minnesota has very little leverage at this point, the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes back, it's ugly. It's mm-hmm. going to be, I mean, how can you even possibly have a conversation about chemistry? None of those guys can trust Jimmy. I don't know that Jimmy can trust any of them. We made it pretty clear he didn't want to play with them. So I'd wait. That thing's going to be dysfunctional if he goes back.
Would you send Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler? I mean, Josh is in the first year of a $42 million contract. He's 25. You know, so he just turned 25.
Right.
I mean, that's the key there, is that you got him on a pretty good deal, a guy mm-hmm. who's you think is really only going to get better in this league.
Right.
You know, do you send him away for Jimmy Butler?
See, I don't think Jimmy moves the needle enough
mm-hmm.
on that side of things with the way it's set up now with Boston and Philly in the position they're in, right, to throw everything mm-hmm. at it and say, come on down. I mean, because how high does that raise it for Miami? He gets down there. He's with Whiteside, who's in and out when he wants to be in terms of his engagement and whether or not he wants to play.
Yep.
Right? So I don't think it moves it enough.
Correct.
For Miami.
I think that's the problem, is that, you know, you get Jimmy Butler, are you going to be a top 3 or 4 seed in the East?
I don't know that even guarantees you that.
Yeah. It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't, because I'd have to look at the rest of that roster. I mean, Jimmy Butler, one of the best two-way players in the NBA, but like, is he?
We know you hate Deion.
Is he transformative like that? I don't think so. And then Josh, you know, Josh is a guy you hold on to because again, you've got him on a favorable contract.
Yeah.
He's only in the first year of it. He just turned 25, averaged 13 a game last year. You got to feel like his usage is going to go up. He's only going to get better. You don't give pieces like that up. Jimmy is a star in the NBA, but how old is Jimmy Butler? He's got to be pushing 30 if he's not.
He's close.
He's 29.
Yeah, I knew he was right there.
He's 29. He just turned 29. You know, again, you have a guarantee there in Jimmy, but like, what are we talking here? In his prime, 2 to 3 years max, whereas you could have Josh Richardson for the next 8 to 10.
Just me as the resident Bulls fan, a guy that obviously watched Jimmy grow up, and we know him well, right? Because Aki Collins, who former Memphis assistant, recruited Jimmy to Marquette. I liked Jimmy better when he had something to prove. And it was always that for him. Remember, Jimmy Butler had to go the junior college route, right?
Yep, he
gets to Marquette. You know, has to prove himself in the league, prove he belongs. And when he had that chip, and he still got it to some degree, but but the respect has finally come.
Yep.
Right? And the money has come. And I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he's changed the way he's played, John,
right.
But I just wonder how driven he still is because now you got everything.
Right.
Everything that he used to create. Respect, the money, he's got all of it. And so that it used to be what added to his game. I mean, he would get up in LeBron, and it was all about, you know, respect and everything else. Still does that, right? Still one of the better LeBron defenders, but I just don't know what he wants now. Because now that the respect's off the table, the money's off the table because you got all that. You know, sometimes, like we've talked about, you take that chip off some of these guys that's been their main motivator, help get them to where they are, they're not the same guy. And for me, as a Bulls fan, Jimmy Butler, it was all about proving himself. That's when he was at his best. So now at this point in his career, to that point, I don't know he moves the needle enough in that situation, Miami, anywhere else.
Yeah.
Once you pay that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it is tough, though. It is going to be very difficult, I think, for these teams to agree on return, though. Because I don't blame either one of those teams. You know, if you're Minnesota, you know, you want to get the absolute most that you're going to get for him because he is a star. But it just goes. It goes back to every time we talk about this in the NBA when a star is traded, like the team that's sending that star away is never going to feel like it got enough. I mean, 9 times out of 10, right? I guess there is
It's always been your theory on why not to trade. Why you don't trade Marc Gasol because you won't get equal value. We know you won't get equal value.
People bring up the Paul George trade, right, to Oklahoma City. Nobody thought Victor Oladipo was going to be the guy he is today with Indiana. Otherwise, I wonder if they would have done it in Oklahoma City. You know, now maybe they would now because they know that Paul George was
resigned.
Yeah, but like nobody thought that Victor Oladipo would be, you know, the most improved player when they sent him away. Keep in mind that's what he won. Like that's
one that's worked out for both sides.
Yeah,
one of the few, you know, unique occasions.
It
doesn't always work out.
But the majority of the time, you know, you're just going to get a guy who was previously Victor Oladipo before he won the Most Improved Player of the Year award. You know, you're going to get a guy who's probably starter quality but doesn't really change your team's fortunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's kind of the predicament that Minnesota is in right now is, like, what's the right return? You know, that's tough. Is it a pick? Is it, you know, starters? Like, what is it? So we'll see. I mean, clearly does not feel like, even though Jimmy Butler's at the facility, does not feel like he is going to change his mind about wanting to be a part of that franchise going forward. So should be fascinating to watch this continue to unfold.
Next story.
We touched on the Open, didn't talk much about it, but John, it is important because people, whether you believe it or not, do follow baseball. The NL and AL Championship Series are set. We saw the last of that last night as the Boston Red Sox dispatched the Yankees 4-3. It's a game 4 win. I mentioned to John that Yankees had split their games in Boston. We're feeling really good going back to New York, but Boston ended up making them feel really bad, brother. You got the Brewers and the Dodgers. On the other side, that NLCS will start on Friday. Game 1's at Miller Park. We've talked about it. My Cubbies should. It's hard to do this we should be there. But I'm happy. I'm actually happy for Milwaukee and pulling for my NL Central brothers, the Brewers. And it's going to be tough because Kershaw's pitching for the Dodgers. Again, that one starts on Friday. I believe the ALCS, if I'm not mistaken, begins on Saturday. That'll be Game 1. Ben, and I'm going to defer to you because you would be our resident American League expert as a Baltimore Oriole fan.
Thank you,
Jason. I'm just going to ask you to pick. You've got 200 game winners here. Here's the thing. You know, a lot of us would have said, oh, man, would have been great Cubs, Red Sox, right, in all the history, or Yankees, Cubs, or, you know, a lot of people have been hating on the Astros, right? And you know, smaller market, right? They don't have the superstars, per se, that some of these other teams do. But they had been one of the most fantastic stories in baseball. And 103 wins this season, to get back to the point, Red Sox won 108, so you got 200-game winners in the ALCS. Bennett, give me your pick, Red Sox, Astros.
So I, as an AL East fan of a team in the AL East, I hate the Red Sox.
Of course.
And because Matt Starks always texts me
about
the Red Sox.
So I'm
going
to ask you to pull your hate out, though.
Yeah, no, I saw,
your expertise.
I saw the Astros play the Orioles a week ago in Baltimore,
yep.
And they won 3 out of 4. The last one didn't really count. I'm impressed with the Astros, man, and the defending champs.
Usually you have a hangover. That's what we did after we won our World Series. These guys win 100 games easy.
But as much as I hate it, I'll go with the Red Sox. I mean, they've been the best team in baseball all year. They're so impressive. I'm going with the Red Sox.
That is the bottom line, Bennett. I have been waiting for the Red Sox to kind of fall off all year long, feeling like, man, well, they've already peaked, right? When are they going to slow down? At some point, it's going to hit. All teams do because it's a long season. They have not. All they've done has been the best team in baseball all year long, as Bennett points out, and it's hard to pick against them. If we're picking World Series here, just who we think's in off these four, I'll go Red Sox. I want to say Brewers because that bullpen's so good. But I'm going Dodgers because they've been here before. I'm going Dodgers. I'll go
That'd
Dodgers.
Be a good World Series.
I go Dodgers, Red Sox. I think it's still it's a good World Series. Who you like on the other side? You going Dodgers over Brewers?
I'll go with that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
John? That's what I'd like to see.
I just wondered whether we should even look across the table at him if he cared.
You know what no one wants to see? Astros Brewers.
Ooh.
You want to talk about ratings disaster.
Ooh. Might be putting those games on in mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Astros Dodgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to base that on, John?
No.
It's your gut. Just going with your gut.
You could have said gut. That would have been good.
No, I don't. I just don't show my work. I'm not trying to show y'all the genius behind my picks.
Okay.
Because you know, I'm gonna keep that to myself. But yeah, I think the Dodgers are you know the better team in that series. Obviously Kershaw, and then with the Astros, I mean, I think they're just a good team. You know what I'm saying? I think they
well-rounded.
You know, they've been here before.
Yeah, obviously
they have.
And they're overall better people than Boston because they're racist in Boston.
Oh, man, this is where you're going. You were doing so well.
Am I right or wrong?
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah. Who would dare argue with me that Boston is a racist city?
Well,
who would do it?
If you remember.
Who among us would do it?
Let's careful. There was an incident last year where an Astros player did something to kind of mock Yu Darvish. I don't know if you remember that.
We have.
Okay, I'm not saying that one city, you know.
That's just one
usual example.
That is one person.
On both sides.
That is one person. Boston's history with racism, well documented.
Well, there have been issues.
I'll never forget what the fans in Boston did to Adam Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
They throw batteries at him or something.
Hold on, dude.
Racial slurs.
Yeah, I know. I know about that part of it.
I need to look this up. Here we go. I mean, if you Google Boston racist city.
Of course, if you Google that, you're going to find some stuff.
I mean, I'm sure any city racist, you might.
I just hate that you call Matt Stark a racist every time we talk about the Red Sox.
Look,
that's basically what you do.
Hey, let me.
I mean, because you paint the whole city.
No, let me read
as
you.
As racist.
Let me read
and
you.
And I'm sure Matt doesn't appreciate it.
I just Googled Boston racist city. Let me read you some of the top results.
I bet you got a lot.
Okay, ready? Boston's image of being a racist city called out again. Let me get a ding. Okay, here's the next one. Boston, racism, image, reality. How racist is Boston?
It has some racist pockets.
A new daily.
Very racist pockets.
A new Daily Show segment.
That Matt Stark didn't live in.
A new Daily Show segment takes a look at Boston's racist reputation. Boston's racist reputation increases with Water Commission lawsuits. The Daily Show wants to know, is Boston racist? Race ahead. Why is Boston so racist? Is Boston the most racist city in the country? This is on the first page, Jason. I think it's safe to say that Boston, racist. Oh, Michael K. on Boston. It's the most racist city I've ever visited. Racism is running rampant.
You're rooting against the Red Sox because
of equality, of the city, of humanity that they represent.
Okay, so you realize that Milwaukee's had issues too. So anything Milwaukee, whether it's Giannis or whatever, I don't want to hear you, you know, any kind of supporting or cheerleading. You're going to root against any Milwaukee team, right? Because Milwaukee's. And that works. Our guy right, Sterling. Let's do this.
Let's do this. I Googled Boston racist city.
Like, you could do that with any city
I'm
and you're going to find
out. Right, I'm going to do it right now. Boston racist city.
But yes, Boston's going to be up there.
30.5 million results. Okay?
That's a lot.
According to Google. Let's do this for Milwaukee. Milwaukee racist city. The same exact phrase.
Milwaukee's had some issues, especially.
2.1 million results.
Well, okay. Okay. I mean, it's Boston and Milwaukee.
Houston racist city. 14 million. So that's kind of, you know, that's not as bad as Boston, but still not good. And then let's do Los Angeles. No, this is going to get up there. 39 million. But we had a lot. It's a bigger city. So it's, there's, you know, per capita.
This is silly that you're rooting against the Red Sox because of it. We get it.
Wow,
Boston has issues. John, no one is
saying
different.
Racism.
No, not in any way do I. Don't cast me there, bro. Matt Stark, I'm sorry. I tried to convince this man there are some good people in Boston. He doesn't believe me. He says you're a racist. Okay.
Hey, I don't know about you. I stand against racism. Who would like to join me? Bennett, would you like to join me?
I'm going to join, too, fool. I'm just not in a broad brush cities.
I think you need to take a long look at yourself. Okay? Would you like to stand against racism?
I just find it silly.
Then change your pick. If you don't,
you're making again. You have players in a baseball team separate from the city, and it's racist history.
I mean, I picked the Red Sox too.
Well,
my man telling me. I mean, he picked Red Sox. But Bennett got to come back over.
I'm really not.
Should he be feeling white guilt?
I'm not trying to do this, but to me, I can only assume you're racist. That's the only thing I can assume. If you pick the Red Sox in this series, I can only assume you're racist. So
it's ridiculous.
You guys should be ashamed.
They're the best team in baseball, and they have been all year long.
Really,
that doesn't matter at all.
You're going to use that.
I'm not going to
justify the racism.
You call me an Uncle Tom because I said Boston's the best team in baseball.
I have never called
And John's
you
calling me now. Now I'm an Uncle Tom.
I've never said
because
that.
Because Boston's the best team in baseball.
That would be a racist term. I don't use those, as you know. I am all about equality on this show.
Okay.
So should be anyway.
This is why we don't talk baseball with John Martin Bennett. This is typically why we don't do it on the show.
Should be fun. Should be fun to watch Boston lose this series.
It's going to explode.
Should be fun to watch them lose this series. All right, I got one more.
Next story.
All right. So everybody was out in Colorado Springs last week for the USA national team training camp. Rivals.com caught up with the number one player in the country. In the class of 2020, his name is Jalen Green.
Yeah, we're very familiar.
Obviously, we've talked about him before. He and R.J. Hampton took their first official visits to the University of Memphis last month.
Once coached by Sam Mitchell,
that is correct. With what was that team called? I can't. EBO.
That's it.
EBO is what they were. And so there's a brief interview that Rivals.com. did with Jalen Green. And listen, they're talking to everybody, right? They're doing these interviews with everybody. And so these kids, I do wonder if they ever get tired of it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they love it.
Not early on. Early on, it's fun.
Right. When you're a junior, it's all fun and games, right? It's all still so new and all that. But anyway, Rivals.com, Kristen Peek caught up with Jalen Green. And there was some, and I've already told you, you know, about the comments that he said to USA Today.
A couple of stories you've written about.
About soaking it up from Penny and Mike and Sam about, you know, just being a sponge, all the knowledge that they have.
Big point guard.
Yeah. This was a separate interview with the number one player in the class of 2020 from, I believe, last week.
This is Kristen Peek with Rivals.com. I'm here with the number one player in the 2020 class, Jalen Green. Jalen, okay, you played Friday. You looked really good. We're at USA Basketball training camp. And then Saturday you show up with a boot on, so obviously this is an injury that's been bothering you. Give me an update.
Right now I'm dealing with a hairline fracture. It's really not that bad, honestly, but, you know, I've been playing it all summer since Argentina, and then I finally got it checked out before I came out here. So I thought I was going to be good, so I played that day, and then it ended up being at its worst pain that I've ever felt it. So I just, you know, went to the doctor. My mom's house to just rest it out. The mini camp's important, but, I mean, June is where it's really at. So I just sat it out.
Well, you still look good, and the competition is tough here. You're the number one player in the class. this summer you had a few guys come up and try to steal that from you. You know, Scotty Barnes, Evan Mobley came, even Anthony Edwards kind of made a push. Does that motivate you to kind of stay on top?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're all great players. You know, Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Anthony Edwards, they're great players. But that just motivates me to keep working harder, stay in the gym more, and, you know, fight for that spot back.
Okay, and now it's looking like, I mean, every time we talked, it was looking maybe you could go straight to the NBA, but now it's looking like it might be the 2021 class, so you'll probably have to go to college. Have you seen coaches pick it up on the recruitment front now, since it looks like you'll probably have to play college?
Yeah, actually, Coach Cal just offered, yep. That just picked up, so I'm guessing UNC
Coach Cal?
Duke is going to come next, but since that happened, the coach has been calling me, texting me every day on a daily. So, yeah, that's really picked up.
Hey, who are you hearing from the most?
Right now, Memphis. Mike Miller and Penny really contact me a lot, and I appreciate the love.
What are they pitching you? Like, what's the program going to look like to you?
The program, you know, they have a really good program over there. You know, they got a great coaching staff already. So, that's good right there. And then the basketball team, they're solid. That's where they're at, but they could be way better than what they are. They have real good potential, but so yeah.
I feel like you can kind of do everything on the
court. There you go. I mean, that was good, right?
It's a pretty fair assessment too, right now, right? With what they have right now, solid.
Yeah, I mean, he says
Memphis, and they plan to get bigger, and I'm sure that's what Penny and that staff's told him.
No doubt about it. It's like
that talent level.
It's like what Jeremy Pruitt is telling, you know, Tennessee football recruits. The best part is you don't got to be a part of this team. No, it's not that bad. It ain't that bad. They're not that bad. They'll be a good team.
What have I been telling you the past couple of weeks or ever, really longer than that, since we found out that Jalen and RJ were making that visit? Anytime that these guys and the elite ones are going to get it over and over again, they get interviewed in these, you're always going to get that question every time in recruiting, when you're covering recruiting. Who's coming at you the hardest? When you are the Memphis staff right now, mm-hmm. and that's coming out of the number one prospect in the class of 2020's mouth, when he's asked about it, who's recruiting you hardest, he throws out Mike Miller and Penny. It's the first thing he mentions.
No question.
Brother, you can't put a price on that.
Nope.
You cannot. Because even if you don't land Jalen Green, the guys at the number two guy, the number five guy, slide it down the list to the number 25 guy, they will remember and say, man, if Jalen thought that highly of it, I better give it a serious look too.
No doubt.
It's smart move by Memphis to work on those guys early like they had, to lock them down using what? Using the excitement that Penny's built, right? Using what the facility they have and what they plan of what they plan to be. So smart to get on these guys early, make a huge impression early, and all they're doing is going out and singing your praises for the next year, however long you stay in the recruitment. You can't put a price on that kind of PR.
I agree. So there you go. That's the latest from the number one player in the country in 2020. When we come back, Dave Lamont is going to join us. He's going to be on the call for Memphis UCF this weekend at the Liberty Bowl. We'll catch up with him about the matchup and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals is a locally owned and operated business serving residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010. They are the home of the free roof, and they work with insurance companies to ensure qualifying customers get one with no out-of-pocket costs. Call 870-0186 for a free roofing estimate or visit morrisonroofing.net.
If you are a business looking to streamline your printing process and save a ton of money at the same time, call Michael and his team at Cartridge World Memphis. They will set a time for a complimentary evaluation, answer any questions you may have, and save you money. That means you don't have to reduce staff this year and may just help pay for a relaxing vacation. All their ink and toner are guaranteed 100%. Come by 4714 Poplar Avenue in the Knickerbocker Shopping Plaza down from FedEx, or call 901-767-4065. That's 767-4065.
Get to know the number one auto and home insurer in Tennessee, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle. And the reason my name is on the sign is because of my talented team inside. Call us 901-767-7744. We're all better looking than a lizard.
I've always managed my money carefully, but it was just one of those months, and I needed some extra cash to cover my bills. AF247.com had my back with a flex loan. I just logged on to apply. An AF247.com representative called me back, walked me through the process, and the money was deposited into my bank account. It was so easy.
The flex loan from AF247.com just got a little more flexible with new same-day funding. At AF247.com, you can move cash from your flex loan to your bank account in minutes, right from your smartphone. Your time is precious, and you shouldn't spend it standing in line for a cash advance. Same-day funding at AF247.com is the answer to get cash when you need it without the wait. The Flex Loan from AF247.com is not a payday loan. It's an open-end line of credit. You only pay for the money you need and only for the time you need it. There's no lump sum payment. Get the cash you need in minutes at AF247.com. From your Flex Loan to your bank account, flexibility is good.
Endorsement by paid actors.
My life has been changed. Why? Because of a Peter Millar sweatshirt from Oak Hall. See, for the longest time, I carried a ratty old sweatshirt in my car for those days when you need another layer to deal with a Memphis air conditioning. Then I said to myself, why have a ratty old sweatshirt when I can have a beautiful Peter Millar sweatshirt? It's a sky blue with that miraculous soft wickaway fabric, and it gives me pleasure every time I put it on. That's what the best clothes can do, make you feel better about yourself and the day ahead. And that's the kind of clothing you'll find at Oak Hall, where they've been selling comfort and quality since 1859. And they do it with the kind of thoughtful, comfortable, and friendly service that you can expect from people who live in Memphis, who are invested in Memphis, and who relate to customers like the neighbors they are. So go into Oak Hall and check out the Peter Millar sweatshirts and everything else too. The best news is, now that the season is changing, you'll be able to wear that beautiful outerwear on those crisp fall days as well. Let Oak Hall change your life, or at least make it a little more stylish and comfortable.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference, so you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance, because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State age and health-related restrictions may apply.
From day one, President Trump has been attacked by those who resist his Make America Great Again agenda. Hillary Clinton and the left have led the charge. Sadly, Chris McDaniel joined Hillary and the left by attacking Trump and his supporters. While Hillary called Trump supporters deplorable, McDaniel called them delusional. What else do Chris McDaniel and Hillary Clinton have in common? They both opposed President Trump's tax cut. That's right. McDaniel said Trump's tax plan was an embarrassment. McDaniel even called Trump, quote, thin-skinned and not conservative. Yes, you heard that right. McDaniel called Trump supporters delusional. He opposed Trump's tax cut, and he personally attacked the president. No wonder President Trump endorsed Cindy Hyde Smith. She supported President Trump's agenda 100% of the time in the U.S. Senate. Cindy Hyde Smith, she's the conservative we can count on. Chris McDaniel, he's just bad for Mississippi.
Paid for by Mississippi Victory Fund. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine with today's Perks deal. Half off $50 to Las Margaritas with 8 locations throughout the Mid-South. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's a big weekend for Memphis football. 10-ranked UCF coming into town to take on the Tigers. Dave Lamont is a play-by-play man for ESPN. He's going to be on the call for UCF Memphis this weekend. It's going to be on ABC. He joins us now. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing well. Very excited about this matchup. It was a great test for both sides.
It absolutely is. So before we get into it, we've done our homework on you, and we've learned that you love to eat local when you are in different cities. I imagine this is probably one of the best spots on a map you could pick for that. Any particular spots that you've sort of scoped out already?
Well, the last time I was there was Mike Norvell's first year, and it was the first time I had tried Gus's, and I thought that was a life-changing experience, at least for me. And I know there's an intense fried chicken competition in Memphis, but that's right, probably, even over any other place I can think of, it'd probably be my number one choice, since I don't get that opportunity very often to be in Memphis. So after that, I mean, I've done all the touristy ones. You know what? And I'm blanking on the name of a place I was told to go to that's famous for their smoked wings. The defensive coordinator, Coach Ball, gave us a name, and I have it on an email, and I'll check that email when I'm flying in tomorrow. And that's a likely destination as well. And after that, we'll see.
Coach Ball is not going to tell you wrong, that's for sure. We suggest the Wing Guru. You're talking about wings, fantastic wings, Dave Lamont. I suggest,
all right,
you'll be thanking us afterwards. I guarantee you that. What do you think about Daryl Henderson? How about this Daryl Henderson guy? We love him here in Memphis. What do you think? I mean, we think he's Heisman worthy. Now, obviously, you're talking about Memphis and wins, and how far he can get up that list is questionable. But what do you think of Daryl Henderson, the running back?
I think if this were a different year with fewer quarterbacks, as dominant as they are, he would get some consideration. I think you're going to see a candidate in Mackenzie Milton on Saturday. But with Henderson, I did the Tulane game, and I would say in all the years I have worked for the network, one of the things we always do when a team has the ball for the first team is at the time, we call it walking out the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we'll put up a big picture with his name and his numbers, and he's posing and all that. That Friday, we used Henderson. And I can't remember ever not bringing out the quarterback first. And it wasn't a slap against Brady White.
Sure.
It was just an idea that, my Lord, this kid is special, averaging at the time 12 yards a carry. I think it was 12.2. And while that game didn't go well, he delivered on the very first run.
Yep.
But he's probably the most explosive player. I mean, statistically, he's proving it. And, just watch him. I just watched him and Taylor rip through, the junior varsity at UConn. And, he's remarkable how he's reformed his body. And to me, he looks a lot like Marshawn Lynch. He runs with that same kind of intensity.
That Tulane game you mentioned was intensely disappointing for the University of Memphis. Really just poured some cold water on the year. When you think back to that, I mean, Daryl Henderson, right, didn't get nearly enough touches.
7 carries, if I'm not mistaken.
What did you sort of make of the effort in that game for Memphis? I mean, it's been one of very few, I think, letdowns in the era of Mike Norvell here.
Yeah, I agree. I think Saturday's game will be about my 5th Memphis game I broadcast since Norvell arrived.
Yep.
So I have an idea of what Memphis football should look like, and I'd never seen them look flat like that before. Now they got the quick start after Tulane, but what surprised me is they weren't able to take advantage in the passing game of what Tulane gave them. Green Wave sold out to stop the run, and they did so successfully. And maybe Memphis got away from the run a little earlier than they should have. That's up to debate.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't take advantage of one versus one on the outside, and that hurt them in that game. And let's face it, that was a poor effort defensively by them, not their best, and they're better than that. And it was very surprising. Tulane played with the desperation of realizing their whole season seemed to be on the line. You know, they just want to get to a bowl game. You know, their standards at the moment are different from what Memphis has. And I think that showed. You know, they just did not handle Tulane's simple game plan, but very effective on defense.
Dave, if Memphis is to win this game and pull off the upset, what's it got to look like? You know, the one thing from an outside looking in, you'd say, well, they've got the running backs, right, to run a ball control offense against UCF, sort of keep UCF's offense off the field. But you've seen it. They're such home run hitters that you can't guarantee, a great time of possession and winning that battle because your running backs are such home run hitters. So what's it got to look like to Memphis? Will it come down to Brady White? Will it be an overpowering running game? How's it got to look for Memphis to win it?
Well, they are going to have to gash big plays because the UCF's offense is a big play offense in its own right.
Yes.
So we could get a recap of what we had or a rerun of what we had a year ago in the American Championship game with this crazed offensive showcase. And I don't think we'll quite get it that high scoring, but as fast as UCF wants to play, at times they're even faster than Memphis. And so Mike Norvell has to ask himself a question. Am I going to play as fast as I normally like to?
Mm-hmm.
Or will I slow the game down a little bit because these guys refuse to slow the game down?
That's it.
And I need to give my defense a break. At the same time, I understand that I've got a back who's averaging 11 yards a carry. I've got another back who's coming off of a huge performance against Connecticut and Taylor. And you're right. It could come down to White and Milton. It usually comes down to quarterbacks anyway, right?
Yep.
Still the most important position. So I would love to see Memphis throw the ball deep, which I didn't see much of against Tulane, which
mm-hmm.
really surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
That was so un-Memphis-like because I got so used to, Riley Ferguson just out there with a six-shooter on and just throwing everything between his legs, behind his back, hook shots. It didn't matter. That guy was out there chucking. And I didn't see that against Tulane. So I need to see that in this game because I think they're going to have to do it. UCF's going to get their points.
Yep.
You're not going to slow these guys down that much. And obviously, if you can get them to put the ball on the ground, I'm watching the SMU game this morning, and one of SMU's touchdowns, a direct result of a UCF turnover. And while ultimately it didn't work out for them, SMU's not as good as Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, you've got to make them pay. Every mistake UCF makes has to be accounted for.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Dave Lamont, of course, ESPN play-by-play man. He'll be on the call this weekend when UCF comes to town to play Memphis. Do you see a weakness with UCF, Dave? Is there something glaring or not at all? Obviously,
not really.
It's hard to find one, right?
It really is, and it's difficult because they haven't played the best teams on their schedule yet either. And so you look at this, and it's, you know, okay, are they really that good, or is this other team inadequate? Like, for example, if you saw the Memphis-UConn game, you know already that UConn is in this massive rebuild, maybe the biggest rebuild in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know that they're not in Memphis's class, and sure enough, Memphis treated them like they should have. UCF has done that to their opponents so far. Now UCF steps up in quality. Obviously, Memphis does too. So I'm curious to see how they handle it, when UCF can handle it, when they now have athletes who are the equal up against them. And the same thing for Memphis, too. You know, these UCF kids, a lot of Floridians, you know what the reputation of the state is for speed.
Yep.
And they've got some ridiculously fast players. I haven't seen much of a weakness yet in what I've watched, and I'm not sure I'm going to see any given the competition they've played so far.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think about Josh Heupel? I mean, I know it's always tough to assess these guys, especially when they inherit the kind of offense that he inherited there at UCF. But what do we make of him so far early in his career there?
We make that he knows how to use his Heisman candidate quarterback very well.
Exactly.
And he's even faster than Scott Frost had this thing going as far as snaps. I mean, I counted some in the first half of that game last week where they were getting the ball off within 8 seconds. As soon as it is put down and that clock starts, there's 32 left on the play clock, and they're going. He wants to go faster than they did last year. And now that's good if you're succeeding. If not, of course, it brings your defense back out much sooner than you would like to. But, you know, it was interesting to watch him last year with Missouri. I had Ray Bentley, who's my analyst on this game, did a Missouri game early in the year when they were struggling. And he came away saying, I just don't like the way they run their offense or their play calling. And then at the end of the year, they were one of the hottest teams in the country. And Drew Locke ended up with 44 touchdown passes for the Tigers. So in this case, he's already got the built-in quarterback. He's got a lot. His offensive line is veteran, which is a huge help.
Yep.
So he's walked into it the ideal situation, unlike Scott Frost, who obviously knew what he was getting into.
UCF obviously coming in with an 18-game win streak. Probably would have been 19 had the North Carolina game not been canceled. And we've sort of been asking our guests this week about UCF, you know, if the streak does continue this weekend at Memphis, you know, how close they can get.
Mm-hmm.
And we're assuming, of course, that they continue to roll, you know, the rest of the year. But how close, Dave, do you think this UCF team can get into the playoff conversation?
I don't think they'll get into it very much at all.
Right.
They'll self-generate it like they did last year. But, in fact, there was just an article that I looked at this morning at ESPN.com that mentioned they virtually have no chance because the strength of schedule is going to weigh them down, and they can go undefeated for two straight years and not make it into the playoff the way it's structured with the four teams, because you already know the SEC champ is in.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very good for Ohio State this year.
Yes.
And really only Michigan stands in their way now. You got to think the ACC champ, if it's Clemson, an undefeated Clemson, let's say, certainly going to get
in. They're going in.
And now Notre Dame, by the way, could horn their way into this if somebody screws up. I don't know if Notre Dame goes undefeated, we're not going to get two SEC teams in like we did last year. I think an unbeaten Notre Dame gets in. So that blocks UCF out immediately. And, you know, we're going to hear again all about 18 playoffs and expanding and how it's not fair to the other schools, and it may not be. But the College Football Playoff Committee isn't going to address any significant changes for another 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's just addressing it. That's just talking about it.
Right.
Never mind if they're actually going to act on it.
Right.
So at this point, it's a great sports talk conversation, but I kind of chuckle and shake my head every time I watch a game and the announcers mention it or it's mentioned in the media. I just kind of laugh. I'm like, we've heard from Bill Hancock himself. There's no momentum on that committee and among the university presidents right now to up this thing past four. It may change, but not right now.
Well, to your point, I mean, like, it's not like they're hurting in the ratings. It's not like people don't watch already, you know, and it's not like it doesn't feel like anything is necessarily missing. But I do wonder, like, if it will start to feel like that if UCF does go undefeated. And they've played, granted, I mean, they've gotten the best Power 5 opponents on that schedule that they're going to be able to get, right? That's the other part of this, is they really can't control it.
Yeah, if they win their bowl game again and they go 26-0, and they have nothing to show for it but a partial national championship. Yeah. I guess one of the services awarded one to them, which, and you know, they're going to put up back-to-back national titles on their stadium or whatever they want to do with it.
Yeah.
And they're welcome to do that, by the way. It's one of the smartest marketing campaigns I've ever heard of in anything, whether it's, you're talking about sports, clothing, airlines, whatever. But ultimately, the real trophy will wind up somewhere else until this either gets changed or until UCF can somehow find another conference to play in.
Yeah, and then finally, Dave, I don't know if you've seen this. We got a little bit of non-Power 5 drama here. This is kind of becoming a rivalry. I like it. Memphis wanted a whiteout this weekend. They wanted everybody in the building to be wearing white, but UCF apparently refused to wear their dark jerseys. Is this like a little mind games here?
Either that or they just, you know, it's not going to be super hot. I understand the weather's going to be pretty mild, so
yeah.
It's not like you're going to be worrying about a Central Florida 90-degree matching humidity kind of day.
Yeah, no.
I just, only thing I care about is Memphis wears numbers I can read, which I've had a problem with your uniforms in the past. So that's my number one goal, uniform-wise.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay. I think you'll be going. They're wearing the blue ones this weekend, so I think you'll be good.
Good.
Dave, man, good. We appreciate
Thank
the time,
this,
man.
Dave.
Thanks so much. Have a good call this weekend.
Looking forward to it. You know, if you guys are around, come by and say hi. And thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely,
appreciate
Dave. Thank you, sir. He is Dave Lamont, play-by-play man for ESPN. Again, going to be on the call for ABC this weekend. Should be a great game. That line holding firm at Memphis +4. Looking forward to hearing Taco's analysis of that on Friday. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be I'm excited. I think this is going to be obviously a shootout. You got a Heisman candidate, Mackenzie Milton, coming into town. It's going to be great.
Yeah, two Heisman candidates.
He's
just not high enough on the list and probably won't get high enough. Key for this game is going to be forced getting a couple of turnovers. Memphis has got to do that, obviously. Have been good at that. And then I think it's going to come down to Brady White. We know the run game is going to be good. It's been good all season. I think the difference will be whether or not Brady White can make some plays down the field. That's what, because you figure they're going to stack up that box to stop that run game. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, should be a fun day for sure. All right, we'll come back. Amari Sankofa going to join us when we come back. He, of course, is the new
new colleague,
the new our new coworker over at The Athletic. He's joining up to cover the Memphis Grizzlies. They're in action tonight, so we're going to talk to him. Make sure he knows which neighborhoods are good to move into. For example, not Raleigh.
So, Raleigh's a fine neighborhood, John.
Nope. We're gonna help our new friend. We're gonna help our new friend Amari when we come back. Jason and John on 89.9 FM, ESPN.
Congrats, you made it through National Ice Cream Day, National Hot Dog Day, and even National Sunglasses Day. You took on the heat, took care of the yard, and even took a vacation. But now it's October, and you finally have a chance to breathe. And with that chance to breathe also comes a chance for fun when you play new October Instant Games. Pick up one of four new games for a chance to win $1,000 up to $1,000,000. Fall into some fun with new October Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
One, two, it's coming for you. Three, four, you could win much more. Five, six, on a scratch ticket. Seven, eight, it's not too late. The new haunted Jumbo Bucks Instant Game. With a top prize of $75,000, it's a terrifyingly great way to celebrate Halloween. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly. 9:10, time to play again.
Jason Smith and John Martin, host of the Jason and John Show weekdays on 92.9 FM ESPN. They're going to be taking the show on the road Friday, October 12th, to the all-new Platinum Jewelers store in Germantown. They're going to be broadcasting live from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. during the grand opening celebration that's going to be going on all day from 10 to 5. They're going to be door prizes, giveaways, food, potential celebrity sightings, all while you're seeing the beautiful new store, which is located at 9387 Poplar Avenue, where the old Doris McClendon store used to be. So if you're in the area, or even if you're not, stop by, see Jason and John, and meet Preston, who will absolutely help with all your jewelry needs. Again, you also might win something, and winning things is fun. The address to the new store, again, Germantown, 9387 Poplar Avenue. That's 9387 Poplar. That's where Jason and John are going to be on Friday. And yes, the other location is still located at 545 Perkins Extended in East Memphis. That's Platinum Jewelers. Check them out on Facebook. Check them out on Twitter. And they're on the web at PlatinumJewelers.com. That's PlatinumJewelers.com.
At Cordell & Cordell, we focus on representing men in domestic relations cases.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
We recognize that our clients are going through perhaps the toughest time they will ever go through. We understand that everything that's important to them is on the table. Their assets, the role in their children's lives. That's an immense responsibility that our clients entrust us with, and we take that very seriously. We've been trained to do that. We've helped thousands of clients before, and it's our hope that you'll choose to entrust us with what's most important to you.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Cordell & Cordell, 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
50% of Americans have gum disease, and most of them don't know. That's dangerous. Many serious medical conditions, such as high blood pressure, are associated with gum disease. Routine dental exams can detect signs of high blood pressure, so it can be treated sooner. Delta Dental of Tennessee has group and individual plans that feature a wide network of dentists trained to spot health conditions connected to your mouth. Learn more at coveryourmouth.com.
My name is Jessica Van Eyck, and I have been a Fraze customer for 8 years. I had a fire break out in the condo behind me. The system went off and that alerted me. Not thinking, I ran out of the house without my phone, but thankfully, my security system had already called the fire station. I would recommend Fraze Protection because they ultimately saved my life. Without the security system, I wouldn't be here today.
For smart home security, choose local and call Fraze Protection today. Tennessee license 0268.
Landers Auto Sales get a large inventory, over 300 vehicles to choose from, like the 2018 Jeep Wrangler. I love my Jeep Wrangler. You'll love it too. So check them out. They're down there at Given Road in South Haven. Whether you're looking for a small SUV, a large SUV, compact car, luxury car, trucker, van, stop by. I promise you'll find exactly what you are looking for. They got a highly trained, experienced staff on hand to assist with all your needs when it comes to purchase and service and accessories for your vehicle. They got lots of goals out at Landers, but their number one goal is simple, and that is to ensure their customers are completely satisfied. So let them show you how they make it happen. Go visit them, Goodman Road in South Haven, or on the web, LandersMemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you pay too much.
The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar on Highland is Memphis' hottest new spot for great plate lunches. Take a look at the menu and specials anytime at thebluffmemphis.com. Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And starting very soon, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to have a new writer. He's moving to Memphis from Pittsburgh. His name is Amari Sankofa II, and he's going to be covering the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic. And he joins us now. Amari, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Everything is good. So what do you know about Memphis?
So, I have been reading about Memphis a lot, obviously. Recently got the job just this past weekend, and honestly been a little bit of a blur figuring everything out. But Memphis obviously is a city with a lot of great history, blues, obviously more recently hip hop with 3-6 Mafia, Tay Keith, whatnot, and also a strong basketball history, obviously, with the Grizzlies. So it's a city that reminds me a little bit of my hometown, Detroit, Michigan. Just rich, rich history, and honestly, I can't wait to get down there.
So have you started looking at places and stuff? I assume, like, you must have a place already, right?
Yeah, well, trying to figure that out. I'm actually going to fly down this weekend and apartment in a little bit, and hopefully going to finalize that pretty soon.
Amari, I'm just curious because you brought it up. You were mentioning how Detroit and Memphis maybe a lot of similarities, and I've always heard and seen it in some that Detroit, and I know this is going to sound super heavy, and I didn't mean to take it here this quickly, but Detroit, much like Memphis, one of the most racially polarized cities in America. Is it like that in Detroit in terms of your experience with it?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I mean, I was born and raised there, educated by, you know, Detroit Public Schools. So, you know, obviously I kind of live that. But, yeah, you know, history-wise, Detroit and Memphis are similar in that, you know, they became very heavily segregated, yep. You know, in the 1950s, 1960s after, you know, race riots. And so there are similarities there. You know, Detroit, the actual city of Detroit, you know, struggles from poverty, bad school, things like that, yep. You know. But in the last 5 years especially, I mean, you know, just in the handful of years since I graduated high school back in, you know, the early 2010s, it's changed so much downtown, midtown. And, you know, just based on what I've heard, Memphis is kind of doing the same, but obviously still strives to make, you know, Memphis being heavily segregated, you know, between just the inner core of the city and sort of the outer areas like Cordova and Germantown and whatnot. So when I say similarities, like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, yeah. Very segregated, you know, struggling from, obviously from bad things. Yet, you know, as you drive through the city, you kind of see those seeds of, you know, things starting to change, you know, which yep. Obviously, you know, I'm sure everybody would, you know, hope for and benefit from.
Well, I ask you that too, Amari, to tell you this, that we see it here in Memphis, and you will experience it as soon as you get here and covering the team that you're covering, that when nothing brings it together, right? Nothing brings both sides together more so, man, than basketball in this town, whether it's Grizzlies, whether it's Tigers. When it's good, man, everybody's together. And that's sort of the you know, sort of the thing that you hope about sports, and you'll certainly see that here in Memphis. Just how excited are you about this franchise? Obviously, you're learning on the run about it and that kind of thing, but when you look at it, you know, you've got a couple of stars with Mike and Mark. You feel like you're coming in here covering a team that, you know, maybe could fight for an 8-7 seed. I mean, you got to, for a first NBA game, you got to be feeling really good.
No, absolutely. This is a team that, I mean, you know, say for last year was in the playoffs every single year, mm-hmm. You know, was competitive every single year. You know, with Mike Conley coming back and he's healthy again, you know, he said his ankle's 100%. You know, that bodes well. Obviously, also with Marcus Law coming back. And Chandler Parsons went to Germany to do the mysterious procedure Kobe Bryant did back in the day to, you know, kind of get his body right. So, I think that's a wild card, but you definitely see the potential of this team to kind of get back to where they were. I'm also high on Jaren Jackson Jr. Yep. I went to Michigan State, graduated from Michigan State. Obviously, he's from Michigan State, so I watched him a lot last year. And, you know, just based on sort of like this idea of a modern big man who can shoot threes, like make an impact defensively, like he's everything you want. His dad played in the NBA, you know, which hopefully can lessen some of his growing pains. And, I mean, this team is just in an excellent spot. You know, the West is tight, but, you know, I think that they are in a position where they can definitely make a playoff run. Like, there's no doubt about that to me.
You mentioned, you know, you're a graduate of Michigan State, and Jaren Jackson certainly. I think Memphis is owed Jaren Jackson Jr. for the Deonte Davis debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of make that right. What never clicked with him? Like, I'm just curious as somebody that went there. Like, did you think Deonte Davis, you know, would be something in the league, or you know, where were you
we're
on
still
him?
Still trying to figure him out, Amar.
No, so Deonte Davis, he is an interesting case. He was, you know, from Michigan. He was a very big get for Tom Izzo when, you know, he committed, because Michigan State doesn't always get those, you know, highly recruited, you know, five-star guys. Mm-hmm. So for him to, you know, land somebody local obviously was a really big get. You know, I know Deonte Davis when he was a freshman at Michigan State. The potential was evident. You know, he was a good shot blocker, great athlete. You know, also very skinny and, you know, needed to round his game out a little bit. I know Tom Izzo was surprised when Deonte Davis left after his freshman year. You know, all the indications were that he was going to come back for a sophomore year, just, you know, obviously based on the fact that, you know, he started to kind of put his form out a little bit. And, you know, clearly talented, but just had a lot of work to do. So I know that was a big surprise to Michigan State. And, you know, honestly, kind of hurt them the following year just as far as their, you know, big man depth, because, you know, everyone expected them to come back. You know, and then, of course, you know, him falling in a 2016 draft in the second round. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if anyone expected him to fall quite that far, you know, maybe outside of the lottery. But for him to go, you know, all the way to the second round, maybe was an indicator that, you know, some red flags were popping up in interviews, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, you know, a little puzzling, you know, especially me watching from afar, you know, to kind of see how things are going from him. But, you know, still, you know, a person with just, I think, natural defensive instinct and, you know, has that potential. So, you know, I guess I'd be curious to see where you know, things kind of go from here, though obviously probably not in Memphis. But, yeah, you know, it's like you said, the whole thing was a little puzzling to see.
We are, of course, talking to Omari Senko for the second. Going to be covering the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic. So just in terms of your background, like, are you a longtime NBA fan? Like, is covering the NBA something that you always wanted to do? Like, what's your background?
Right. So, yes, I've always wanted to cover the NBA. That's the reason why I started pursuing a career in sports writing, really back when I was in high school. The Pistons, of course, in the mid-2000s, when I was a kid, they were a powerhouse, and it was very easy to root for a team that kind of had that, that mentality of, you know, we're going to play excellent defense, we're going to outwork you every single night, you know, obviously the going-to-work era. So, pretty much it's been a lifelong dream to cover the NBA. Covered a lot of basketball in my career. You know, at Michigan State, I worked for the student newspaper for 3 years. And
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.